very quiet during the during the debate, and we have a panel of questioners here. First, Royce Van Tassel of the Utah Taxpayers Association. Your question, please.
Thank you. Every 2 years, candidates talk about fiscal discipline and low taxes while simultaneously promising to protect popular but expensive entitlements. Every serious analysis of the federal budget emphasizes that the federal deficit cannot be eliminated without fundamental changes to popular existing entitlements. What sacrifices should members of the 4th Congressional District expect in order to balance the budget?
Ms. Love, we'll begin with you.
Okay, thank you so much. The deficit and the national debt is something that I've been majorly focused on from the very beginning. Fiscal discipline, limited government, personal responsibility. I've put a list out there to start the discussion. And I knew when I put that list out there that I was going to be attacked because of specific items. But I wanted to let people know that I was serious about starting that discussion on cutting spending. And I wanted to also let people know that this was going to be difficult. And so I wanted to lead. I want to make sure that when I get out to Washington, I have a firm understanding of where we're going and what we're going to be cutting.
Mr. Matheson.
I think you framed the question well. First of all, I think it's important that we recognize there are going to have to be some tough decisions, and they're going to have to be done in a bipartisan way. Me personally, I voted to cut spending by almost $3 trillion. I voted to cut spending, I voted to put in hard spending caps, and I voted for a balanced budget amendment because I think you need some structural impediments in place if you want to force true fiscal discipline in Washington. At the end of the day, as I said, it's going to require some type of a bipartisan effort. You can look at all the different commissions that have been put together in a bipartisan way, like the Simpson-Bowles Commission. And we may not like everything in that recommendation, but it does set a framework. It sets a template that would be a good working start. That's what Congress ought to take a look at in this issue.
I appreciate those thoughtful responses, but I think what the voters in the 4th District need to hear are, what are the specific things that they need to expect? There are sacrifices that will have to be made. What is it that each of you is asking for?
Mr. Matheson.
First of all, I think that there are places where we still need to continue to cut spending. I've said particularly in the agriculture subsidy area, like sugar subsidies, I think there's a huge opportunity there to make savings. I do think we have to be real careful when we talk about entitlement reform that we do not talk about just shifting the risk to individuals by privatizing Social Security and Medicare. I don't think that's dealing with the problem. I think that's ducking the problem.
Mrs. Love.
We talked about, there are several things that we talk about. The list is so incredibly long. We spend $900 billion on poverty programs that's supposed to end poverty. Yet, we continue to spend more and more money, and we're making more and more Americans poor. Isn't our job to make sure that people can stand on their own, make sure that they find jobs that they need in order to provide for themselves and opportunities for their families?
Okay, I've got four things I'm going to name. And I'm going to ask, will you cut or not cut? You can just say yes or no, or cut or not cut. And cut counts, one of them Social Security. If you're going to cut the rate of increase, the legal rate of increase, that counts as a cut. Okay. Social Security, a yes or no?
No.
We need to reform Social Security.
Cut?
We're going to reform it.
Medicare, yes or no?
Obamacare cut out of Medicare.
But yet Medicare, yet cut or no cut?
We need to reform.
Medicare, cut or no cut?
I'm not going to blindly cut. We do need to make it more accountable to slow the growth in costs in health care in general.
Defense spending, including Hill Air Force Base, cut or not cut?
I would only do the cuts the military's asked for, and Secretary Gates, who was appointed by George Bush, has recommended a set of defense cuts. I think that's a reasonable place to start.
Defense budget, including Hill Air Force Base, cut or no cut?
We are cutting quite a bit in our defense, and we need to have a strong national defense.
Central Utah Water Project, cut or no cut?
I haven't thought about Central Utah.
Absolutely not. I'm a strong supporter of the Central Utah Water Project.
This is Liz Jensen. She's from Provo. Ma'am?
Yeah, I have a question for both candidates. I've been unemployed for about 3 months now and found it very difficult to find work. So my question to both of you is what you plan to do if you're elected to decrease the number of unemployed people and just better the job market in general.
Mrs. Love.
Okay, there are two different directions that we can take. Unemployment is out of control in this country. We've got 23 million Americans that are unemployed. There are two different directions. My opponent is supporting Barack Obama, which everything ends up with bigger spending, more borrowing, more debt. I've got the support of Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney knows that I'm going to do everything I can to create jobs and make sure that we champion the private sector so that you can have a job.
Mr. Matheson.
First of all, Liz, I'm sorry that you've experienced unemployment. I think that you are a face on a challenge a lot of people in this country face since the housing market collapsed 4 years ago, and I appreciate you raising the issue. To me, I want to say that I don't think government should be running our economy. I think our private sector system is based on something else. But I do think it's important to look for public policies that encourage economic growth and opportunity. That's exactly what I've done. I've supported domestic energy development. I've supported lower taxes. I've supported reducing government regulation. And I'm proud to say that because of that, business organizations that generally, quite frankly, support people in the other party, like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the National Federation of Independent Business, have endorsed me in this race because I've taken that pro-economic growth approach to the job.
You want seconds?
I do. You know, in Saratoga Springs, we have been able to hold the highest bond rating available to us. While Washington was getting a downgrade, we were getting an upgrade. Washington is the problem. Too many times when government gets too involved with something, the same results happen. Competition goes down, efficiencies get worse, and costs go up. And that is why we're hurting our businesses, and we've got to make sure that we're incentivizing more growth in the private sector so that you can have a job.
Mr. Matheson.
You know, I'm just proud of my record, having worked in the private sector before I got in this job, and I recognize it's important, again, for government not to run our economy, but it is important to recognize, as I said, there are organizations out there that are generally more conservative in nature who've recognized that I am a pro-business member of Congress.
Mr. Robert Gerke is a reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. The editorial board of the Salt Lake Tribune endorsed Mr. Matheson. Mr. Gerke has nothing to do with that. He's an independent reporter. Your question, sir.
Thank you, Rod. Congressman Matheson, first, when Obamacare passed, you voted against the bill.
Sure.
You voted against a repeal. More recently, you voted for the repeal. The bill hasn't changed. Can you explain why your vote changed?
First of all, I've always been against Obamacare because if you look at health care in America, the challenge we have, and everybody knows this, ask anyone in any business who's buying and paying their health insurance premiums, costs are growing at a greater rate than inflation. We can't sustain that. So the great challenge for us as a country is how do we have a healthcare system that where we're not all priced out of the market? And I don't think the Obamacare bill did that. So I voted against it every time it came up in Congress, be it in the committee I was on, in the House of Representatives, or where the bill came back from the Senate. I also respect our Constitution and the three branches of government. And the Supreme Court, the legislative, the judicial branch, was considering the constitutionality of the issue. I thought it was important. I think it would be reckless, in fact, for Congress to step in when the Supreme Court, when the judicial branch was active. So I thought it was appropriate to let the judicial branch have its say. And after the court ruled, I voted to repeal the bill.
Mayor Love, some of the more popular changes in the Affordable Care Act have been expansion to dependents up to age 26, prohibitions on precluding people from getting insurance based on pre-existing conditions. Are those provisions that you would support repealing if you have, as you said, supported repealing Obamacare?
I want to make it very clear. I am supportive of repealing of Obamacare and making sure that it stays out and putting a health care system that is sustainable and affordable. My opponent, when Obamacare came out, Utah knew where we stood. We were against Obamacare. The Utah delegation knew where we stood. Jim Matheson was the only person that did not announce where he stood until the day of the vote. We knew where we were. We didn't know where Jim Matheson, whether he was with us or against us, until the day of the vote. And let's be clear, in 2011, he voted against the repeal of Obamacare, and that has been his position until this spring.
Well, it's pretty clear that it's pretty clear that my opponent just hasn't done her homework and doesn't know my record. Quite candidly, we voted on Obamacare three different times because I'm on the committee where the bill came from. So I actually had a chance to vote and voted no well before anyone in the Utah delegation had an opportunity to even vote on the bill. So to suggest somehow that I was the last one to declare where I was, when in fact I was the first one to vote against it, I just don't think she's done her homework on my record and how I participated in the process.
Mrs. Love.
We can go back and forth on this, but I think the Utah voters know exactly where he stood on Obamacare and that he voted against the repeal in 2011, and that was his position until we need leadership here. We need to know that when Utah makes a stance on something, not only are we going to go and vote for it, but we're going to stand up there and say we're going to bring people to come along with us. That's leadership.
A more general question, if I could. Do you believe that Americans have a right to health care? Mayor Love, you first.
My father has taught me that I was entitled to what I own, earned, worked for, and paid for. And what we're doing right now is making sure that we're not giving affordable health care to people, to many of Americans. What we're doing is it's completely unsustainable, and we're going to make sure that Washington is making sure that we effectively do not do anything to help give health care to many Americans.
I think health care is a deeply personal issue. Of all the issues in politics, this is one that we all have our own personal story. We all relate to it. And I think it's important in a country, the strongest country in the world, where we believe in the principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that people have access to affordable health care.
Stacey Taylor sent us a question by email along these lines. She has an autistic kid, and she says if you get them early, you do well, but it's expensive, and she can't afford it. She asked, can either of you do anything for autism? Mr. Matheson.
You know, this is an issue that I've cared about a lot. When I first got to Congress, I joined the Congressional Autism Caucus. My wife's a pediatrician, so I know about a lot of kids that have this condition. I visited the Pingree School here in Salt Lake that has kids there that have autism. And so this is an issue that I've taken the personal attention in. And yes, number one, I think we need to make sure that we invest in basic research, the National Institute of Health, to make sure that we can come up with better treatments. And number two, I think we want to make sure that child has access to good special education and access to treatment.
Autism.
Autism is something that I believe that we need to care for those who cannot care for themselves. I believe that we have a responsibility to do that. And so, but here's what I'm saying. If you're going to support Obamacare, something that's completely unsustainable, if you're going to put your head in the sand and pretend that we don't have a problem with health care, then we're going to lose it as we know it. It's going to go bankrupt. It's already one of the biggest drivers of spending. So we've got to do everything we can to keep those programs for those who cannot afford them and keep our promises, not just to the senior citizens and to those who can't care for themselves, but to our children who are going to have to foot the bill if we don't do something.
What I think I'm hearing is we've got a cut, except maybe for autism, we're going to increase spending. Yes or no?
That's not what I've said.
Okay, yes or no? Are you going to increase spending for autism or not increase spending for autism?
We're going to have to look at a health care package that takes care of those who cannot care for themselves. So we're going to take care of those. We're going to take care of children with autism.
More money for autism or not?
I'll say this. Kids in special autism requires special education. My opponent wants to eliminate the Department of Education, which would reduce funding for special education. So let's be careful what we're doing for those kids with autism.
We'll get to education, and you can reply to that. We'll get to education. This is Sandra Steele. She is a citizen of Saratoga Springs. Saratoga Springs has been an issue in this campaign, and she has a question.
Yes, I feel like I live in the most beautiful, one of the safest places in Utah, and my taxes have been decreased this year. And Mia, I have a question for you. How have you been able to preserve the highest bond rating for cities and doing this while preserving our rainy day fund during a challenging economic period? And how do you plan to utilize this knowledge when you get to Washington, D.C.?
It's not rocket science. What I've been able to do is step out of the way and allow the economy to thrive, allow small businesses to thrive. Many times, Washington puts an obstacle in the way of small businesses, taxing too high, over-regulating. And what we've got to do is do the same thing that we've done in Saratoga Springs. I ask myself three questions whenever I'm making any new commitment. Is it affordable? Is it sustainable? Is it my job? And if it doesn't fall into that, then that is not my job. But while Washington was getting a downgrade in its bond rating, Saratoga Springs was getting an upgrade. We've received a national budget award for the work that we've done in Saratoga Springs, and Washington can take a note from what we've done there.
Mr. Matheson.
It's interesting. In the 8 years that my opponent's either been on the city council or mayor, they've done eight budgets. Five of them were out of compliance with Utah state law for what city budgets are supposed to be. But what they did do is they did raise taxes 116% in 1 year. And what I would ask, if I was a resident of Saratoga Springs, is why are my taxes so much higher than my surrounding communities? Taxes and property taxes in Saratoga Springs are actually 15% higher than American Fork, 24% higher than Lehigh, and over 90% higher than Eagle Mountain. And so I want to ask a question about why I'm paying those taxes. I think it's a beautiful community. I think it's a great place to live, but I'd want to know why the taxes were so high.
Mrs. Love.
My opponent obviously has never worked in local government. He went straight to Washington, so he doesn't understand what it's like to work where the rubber meets the road. Let me explain something. Saratoga Springs Incorporated in 97, we were assessed the lowest ag tax possible, agricultural tax possible, by the county. We assessed a tax for the first time, a residential tax, because Washington caused a housing market that crashed and all of our cities were left picking up the pieces. So what we did was we rolled up our sleeves and we cut spending and we've set a residential tax for the first time in history, and then we were able to lower taxes. Now, cities balance their budgets differently. Eagle Mountain uses their utilities to balance budgets. I think it's important for us to make sure everyone knows that our property tax pays for nothing but public safety and our utilities pay for nothing but utilities.
15 seconds.
Just be clear. Taxes in Saratoga Springs are higher than any other surrounding community, and it was reported in the press, independent third party, taxes went up 116%. In fact, the highest tax rate for comparable-sized cities throughout the state of Utah in that range is Saratoga Springs.
15 seconds.
You can talk to the Utah County Taxpayers, the Utah Taxpayers Association. They'll say that what I'm saying is true. Again, Representative Matheson has no idea how to deal with municipal budgets. He's never worked it. I've been in municipalities for 9 years. I know our city's running well. Saratoga Springs is not the problem. Washington is the problem.
Mary Mellor is a student at the University of Utah. She has a question.
Yes, my question is for Mayor Love. Earlier in this election, you said that you would cut, if elected, you would cut all federal funding to student aid, including Pell Grants and student loans, and even to abolish the Department of Education itself. So my question for you is, what do you have to say to the 75% of Utah students, including me, who depend on the federal government to make college possible?
Okay, first of all, I want you to know that I am here, first and foremost, as a wife, a mother, and a concerned citizen. I want higher education for my children. The problem is when government gets too involved in something, the same thing happens. Price of tuition goes up. So where you've got Barack Obama and, again, my opponent, Jim Matheson, that would like to just push out as much money as possible so that the next bubble that's going to burst is education, I'd like to bring the cost of tuition down. Now, limited government doesn't mean that we cut everything. Limited government means that things have to must be administered at the appropriate level. So that means, why would we crowd out the private sector and the states for providing college tuition or even funds or grants to students? What we want to do is make sure that we allow institutions to keep their costs down. And right now, we're not doing that because the cost of tuition has gone up 500% since the 80s, double what I've gone since graduation. So what I ask you is, when your children go to school, under Jim Matheson, they won't be able to afford it. Under Mia Love, they'll have more options and they will be able to afford
Mr. Matheson.
Education. I'll tell you, we're all entitled to our own opinions, but I think we're only entitled to one set of facts. And the fact is that I don't know how we're going to blame me for college tuition costs going up in this country. I don't see that one. I know college tuition costs have gone up. I also know that 75% of all college students in Utah utilize some form of federal aid. And this is the American dream. We want our kids to go to school. We want to be able to compete in the global economy. This is where we make an investment in the future. And to suggest that, well, let's just have college costs go down, well, I'd love to wave a magic wand to make costs go down. I don't hear a proposal for how you're going to do that from a government perspective to make tuition go down. But I will say this. At the end of the day, if you think that some private sector option is going to work, Don't listen to me. Listen to the head of financial aid at the University of Utah, who will tell you the problems that students faced with predatory lending practices from the private sector. In fact, the program that's in place now is the lowest cost, most efficient way for students to get a student loan to pay for college.
So I want to know, like, really explicitly what you think would happen to the Utah economy if 75% of the college students in this state had federal funding cut from our education.
You needed to talk.
What we need to do is we need to make sure that we apply a more free market system to education. The free market has taken us more people out of poverty than any other economic system in the history of the world. So again, if you think about the cost of tuition, it's gone up for one reason. It's because so much money is being funneled into those areas. Easy money, but somebody's going to have to pay for it. By the time my daughter goes to school, her cost of tuition will be around $200,000. What are we doing? Why are we encouraging people to incur more debt when we can encourage a free market system that would bring the cost of tuition down? It's always brought the cost of items down, always.
I'm going to be honest. I don't understand this answer. I don't understand how that's going to bring tuition down. But I do know this. If you listen to the business community in Utah, the local Chamber of Commerce, along with Governor Herbert, they recognize the importance of a college education. They've set a goal by 2020 of having two-thirds of all adults have some type of post-high school degree. I have yet to hear anyone other than my opponent in the state of Utah advocate we get rid of federal student loans. This, again, is how we make our investment in the future for our kids.
You get very short. We move on.
He doesn't understand it because everything that he is defending equals more spending on a federal level. Everything that he's defending is more spending.
Quiet from the crowd.
I think that's a simple platitude, and it's just not true. The fact of the matter is Utah families know that they want their kids to have a better life and be able to go to college. They know affordability is a concern. They worry about it. And this is the opportunity they have to go to college.
Okay, we were going to have here, we're here to hear the candidates. Please save your applause to the end. Okay. We were going to have a lawman here, and he had a family emergency. He's at the hospital instead. So I'm going to ask a question he might have asked. It's along the same lines. Ms. Love, in that list that you talked about where you made cuts, you said maybe you'd cut some law enforcement grants, too. Because you were first last time, I'm going to ask you to go first this time. Do you agree with Ms. Love about cutting federal grants to law enforcement agencies?
You know, I think public safety is one of the most basic functions of our public system. I have a former police chief and SWAT member who's worked on my congressional staff for 10 years. And I've met with police chiefs throughout the state of Utah. And to a man, they will tell you that these programs where the Department of Justice funds anti-gang task forces, anti-drug task forces, bulletproof vests for cops, the National Sex Offender Registry, these are programs that make us safer. Why would we want to move away from that? And by the way, Rod, you said in the question that her plan says we maybe should cut this. That's not what the plan said. The plan actually said cut all of this, eliminate local law enforcement grants from the Department of Justice. I think that's bad policy.
Again, here we go again, where I put out a list so we can start the discussion. At least I'm showing courage to put out and say I have a plan and I'm very serious about cutting. When it comes to law enforcement, there is a role that government plays, and it is to make sure that we are safe. In Saratoga Springs, we've been able to give our police department everything they need to make sure that Saratoga Springs is safe. So when it comes to those grants, remember, government doesn't make money. They have to tax it or borrow money. And so what they do is they take money from the local sector and then they give it back with strings attached. What I'd like to say is we should be able to keep our money here, make sure that we are able to provide for our local law enforcement without the strings attached. And then we'd have more effective ways and they would have more money to do what they need to make sure to keep our residents and the people of Utah safe.
Another question from Mr. Gerke of the Salt Lake Tribune.
Congressman Matheson again. You have said before that you support the Simpson-Bowles plan as a framework for starting the budget debate, trying to get a balanced budget or trying to get the debt under control. That plan has a number of tax increases in it for a broad segment of the population. Do you support those tax increases as part of the plan? And if not, how do you make those numbers budget?
I'd be careful how you describe the plan because it's a framework. But let's talk about what the Simpson-Bowles plan did that I think is the right approach to tax reform. The Simpson-Bowles plan says let's lower tax rates overall. We're going to have to close some loopholes. When you close loopholes and you broaden the base, there are going to be, quite candidly, some winners and losers in that calculation. But I think America is ready for tax reform that lowers rates, both in the corporate tax sector and the individual tax sector. In fact, if you listen to the two major candidates for president, they both say the same thing about the corporate tax code in America. You need to lower the rates and broaden the base. And I think that's the right approach we ought to work on.
Mayor Love, following up on more of your proposed cuts, one of them was the earned income tax credit, which you proposed cutting by in half, about $207 million in increased payments that would be coming from Utah. Does that equate to a tax increase on the low income? And if so, how do you?
You know what it says? That? It says that we're all Americans, and I believe that every American should pay something into this country we know and love. I believe that it's not okay to not pay anything. If you earn an income, you should pay something. You should have some skin in the game, because we are doing everything we can to make sure that we keep our country in order. But again, we talked about one of the things that my opponent just talked about is, yeah, we're going to have to pick winners and losers. That's the problem with government. They continue to go and pick winners and losers when we should be allowing the free sector, the free market, the private sector to pick who wins and who loses.
Ms. Matheson.
I don't think my opponent's done her homework on what the earned income tax credit is. These are people who are working and they are paying taxes. They pay Social Security taxes and Medicare taxes and they are paying. But what's interesting about that program that she wants to cut in half, this tax credit for working families, is this is a program that was created back when Ronald Reagan was president. And Ronald Reagan described this program as the most pro-family, best anti-poverty, best job creation measure to ever come out of Congress. George W. Bush worked, and I worked with him, to expand this program because it matters so much for people who are trying to make a better life for themselves. And her proposal would raise taxes on these very people.
Mrs. Love.
Again, we're putting out a proposal, and we're making sure that Utah is going to be an advocate for those programs. When we talk about the earned income credit, there's so many people that are bringing in quite a bit more from federal government. It is not federal government's job to take care of everything from cradle to grave. There will never be enough money. We need to all make sure that we're paying something into our taxes.
Mr. Van Tassel has a question, but I'm not going to him because we have a minute. Instead, I'm going to ask a couple of very quick questions. If elected, will you push the administration to get out of Afghanistan? Will you kick them a little bit, or will you support them?
I think it's time to ask when the end is going to happen. I don't think we can assume we're going to stay there in the long run.
I think we need to have a plan. When we put our men and women in uniform at arm's length, we need to have a plan, a way out. That's one thing that I believe that we haven't done. So we need. I'm going to trust the boots on the ground to tell us exactly what we need to do. But everyone would like to see our soldiers come home.
Okay, this we're out of time. Sorry, I can't even ask another one. Thank you very much. Be a Love Republican. Jim Matheson, Democrat. Heck of a race. Thank you.
And that is the second congressional debate happening in Salt Lake City, or did happen in Salt Lake City today, hosted by Rod Decker from KUTV. Our thanks to KUTV for their partnership and allowing us to take that feed of the debate there.